darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here live this Monday following the celebration of our nation's 249th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. I'm grateful to be with you with the full corner contingent. Well, almost full. Almost full. As I mentioned, I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by my man, 100 grand right across from me, Mr. Bobby Rosa, screening room producer extraordinaire, often imitated but never duplicated, the real J-Mac, and the voice who is bringing you the news of the day. Who was he saved by? Don't go too far. It's Double R, ladies and gentlemen. Reed Ritter is in studio with us, and we're ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality. Recognize the primacy that God places on family and allow that to guide your engagement. We must wrestle with the reality that none of us is promised tomorrow. We must work, as the scripture says, while it is day. We have the opportunity on a daily basis to execute our King's Commission starting right in our own homes. It doesn't mean that's the exclusive place of faithfulness. Not at all. It doesn't mean that God is unaware of other contexts that we are living in and family dynamics and things of that nature. But we have to recognize that the family is central to God's plan for his expansion of his kingdom. Central to it, not peripheral, central to it. So as you recognize that, and in full view and really in outsized appreciation for the benefit of being saved ourselves, the only appropriate response is to render the lifestyle of worship, which you've heard me say before. Worship is not limited to any particular activity. There are numerous activities that comprise worship, but ultimately worship is a lifestyle, and the pinnacle of that lifestyle is obedience. If we love the Lord, as we declare that we do, John 14 lays it out, other places lays it out. If we love him, we will obey him. Disobedience is not an option to those who have been captured by the King of Glory, in which I say often, when you've been captured by him, you move from merely giving offerings to becoming the offering, to where all that you are is his. All that you have is his. That you recognize time is something God has gifted to you. You recognize your abilities and talents is something that God has given to you. You recognize the breath in your lungs is something that God has given to you. And he has not given you all of that superfluously. He has not given all of that to you just for a shoulder shrug and a meow, meow. He's given that to you purposely, that we would be his hands and feet, and that our heart would beat after what his heart beats for, and that we would be a part of executing what he has called us to. And the engine that drives that, as I said before, is our love for God. And when Jesus was asked about the great commandment, he communicated very beautifully that the first is love the Lord with all that you are, your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. You'll love your neighbor as yourself. And articulating that, Jesus is really expressing that our love for the Lord will find its expression in our love for our fellow man. And there's no greater love, Jesus said it, than one would lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater love than to communicate the way to eternal life to those who may not yet know our King as their Lord and Savior. There's no greater expression of that. So when we recognize that, man, it won't be easy for us to just walk by people at the water cooler. It wouldn't be just easy for us to drive by folks. We would recognize, man, that these are people with eternal souls. And perhaps God has allowed our paths to cross because today might very well be the day of salvation for those who may not yet know him. If you are in that boat yourself, you're listening to me and many people tune in. They want to hear news and commentary, things of that nature. But I would be extremely and exceedingly neglectful if I didn't simply remind you that eternity is a long time to be wrong. A long time to be wrong. What would benefit you to know all the ins and outs of every news story, all of the ins and outs of all of the political rhetoric, yet you would lose your soul? It's not worth it, man. It's not worth it. In the day of the Lord's drawing, please do not harden your hearts. To the word of God we go. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. This verse just echoed in my heart as I learned of the news of the day. And we're going to talk about, you know, the huge story of the flooding in Texas. But to see expressions of people that are so callous, you know, and heartless. There's one pediatrician, if you can believe this, in Houston, Texas, who basically said, and I'm going to give you the exact quote. I'm going to show you what she posted herself. Who basically said, well, you know, the people in that area of Texas where the floods ravaged, they deserved it because, you know, they voted for Trump. So, you know, it's like, what? What? And you know, you have, you know, our world, let's just be candid about it. We have wackos in our world, no doubt about it. You have some wackos in America. But usually they are indicative of an extreme minority. And it's, you know, you can envision the jobless, you know, multicolored hair, you know, all of the things you might envision of a radical political activist. But how many people think about, you know, the pediatrician next door working for one of the largest, not for, but working in conjunction with one of the largest hospital systems in the world, who is a pediatrician caring for children. And yet, when children are killed, they're dying as a result of natural disasters, for her to go, well, that's what you get for voting. What? What? And the scripture that echoed in my heart after reading this is right here in Matthew 24, verse 12. And it says, because lawlessness will be increased. And this is Jesus explaining indications of the last days. He says, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will wax cold. The love of many will grow cold. And we're seeing this, man. We're seeing this. This is just one of the most jolting examples of it. But we see that same thing in the scores of people. And this is something that I'm just having a hard time getting over and coming to grips with. But when you have, you know, 2 out of 3 federal courts following the decisions of one of the largest school boards and school districts in Maryland, that will tell parents, we don't care what you think. We don't care what you believe. We're going to teach your children what we want them to think and to know. And when you find out behind the scenes that the teachers particularly are selecting the books, and the guides include instruction to teachers to disrupt 4- and 5-year-olds' understanding of sexuality and identity, and the parents express disagreement and displeasure with the idea, and the school board says, well, I don't care what you think. And then to have 2 of 3 federal courts to affirm that kind of decision. And then they have 3 of 9 federal judges, federal Supreme Court justices, to say, yep, the lower courts were right. Guys, where are we? This is absurd. Praise God that we were spared from that. But again, we have to understand, you know, being snatched by the nape of the neck like a brand from the burning. We have to be able to distinguish that from, oh, all is wonderful. Life is beautiful. And the point I'm driving at is that we have a consistent, demonstrable contingent of adults from an entirely broad and diverse cross-section of the American tapestry that is more than willing to bludgeon, to sterilize, to kill children in pursuit of their ideological preferences. Either willing to kill children in the forms, in the instances of abortion, or in other instances to allow children to die with the pediatrician from Houston, Texas, or to castrate children, or to sterilize them, or to mutilate their body. Hey, We're progressive, which is why I call it regressives. Jesus told us, man, for the ascendancy of lawlessness, the love of many will wax cold. And one of the major reasons why I'm presenting this to you is an opportunity for a gut check and a heart check. If you are so beholden to your political persuasion that you're willing to shrug your shoulders as other people literally die because they don't agree with your politics, it's time to humble yourself and repent. That, my friends, is demonstrable idolatry. I'm gonna post. I'm gonna show you the post. This is a pediatrician, and I keep emphasizing the fact that this is a pediatrician because what do pediatricians do? They care for children. So just envision, and I'm gonna go here now. Just envision that you're bringing your child to be cared for by this pediatrician, and the pediatrician just so happens to find out that your politics diverges from her own. How do you think your child will be treated? Do you think the prescriptions that are offered, the care that is rendered, will that be in the best interest of the child? Would that be, pursuant to the Hippocratic Oath to first do no harm? See, there's one thing that I cannot conveniently ignore what the scripture says. And I know others will want to try to say, oh, Abe, you're making too much out of this. Am I? The word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We're living in the information age to where social media in many ways has become the digital town square. You could apply that out of the abundance of the heart, the fingers type. That's your first response, your first reaction to chaotic, widespread devastation and death. Is a collective shrug because of a difference in political preferences? And I know this to be true. I believe this to be true, and I hope this to be true. I don't believe in this instance there's an overwhelming contingent of people who vote Democrat who would share that perspective. But how broad is that perspective? How many share that perspective? I ask it in the converse. I said it before. If you listen to this program, you know I can't stand the Obama presidency. I don't want anybody to kill him. I wouldn't shrug my shoulders at his death. I pray he repent and come to know Jesus and not face eternal damnation. I still loathe his policies. I don't want anybody attacking the man. I said this when there were people in certain places that were burning Obama's effigy. And I'm saying, whoa, that's idolatry. I said it was idolatry, for there were people, and this makes me laugh, all these outlets that talk about people have a messianic complex about Trump. I watched these same journalists literally go into moments of reflection and worship at the presence of Barack Hussein. I said, you guys are worshiping the man. Literally, you had magazine articles that were saying Obama Messiah. So that's idolatry. This is where, guys, Christ following cuts all across the board. If you are holding to your political preferences to such a degree to where you have a collective, or not even collective, but have a casual shrug at people dying, that is wicked. That is evil. And that is idolatrous. And repentance is what is necessary. May we never get to the place to where the love that we have in our heart waxes cold because of the prevalence of lawlessness. This is where the believer diverges from the current that is carrying the people along in the spirit of the age.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
God is worthy of all the praise and thanksgiving and worship we can give him, and he's worthy of so much more. And when we're wise enough to make it a point to really praise and worship and thank him just consistently in our lives, it blesses our lives in so, so many ways. Remember, praise, worship, and thanksgiving stir the Holy Spirit working in your life, and therefore it stirs your joy as well. On the other hand, one could say that the opposite of praise and worship and thanksgiving is complaining. Complaining invites the devil into any situation. To complain about something is to speak curses over that item. So that's one more reason why we should never complain and strive to avoid complaining under any circumstances, because complaining can make a tough situation worse under any circumstance. Don't be a complainer.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. massive search is still underway after the deadly floods in Texas. The death toll that I saw right before coming onto the air has reached 95 people. And includes people that were at Camp Mystic in Kerr County, Texas. Following these deadly floods that took place on July 4th, of the bodies that have been found, it includes 27 children. I even had a coworker who used to work with me in the district attorney's office before I came to AFA, whose daughter was actually at Camp Mystic. Thanks be to God that she was rescued. So her daughter is not among those children, man, who lost their lives. I can't imagine the grief that the families are feeling. And the Camp Mystic area is just one area where they had this tremendous, tremendous suffering. At Camp Mystic itself, the 70-year-old co-owner, Mr. Dick Eastland, who really had dedicated his life in planting the camp and serving children, helping them come to know Jesus, frankly. His body was recovered. As according to the testimony of people that were there, he tried to rescue others as the waters were surging, as the Guadalupe River overflowed. And that's what led to the horrific tragedies, man. I just cannot imagine. And always, my first thought, man, is where are these people, where would they spend eternity? That's my first thought, man. That's my first thought. It's one of the things that is distinctive about being a Christian is that we have an eternity-based compassion. Doesn't mean we passively agree with everything everybody wants to do. I explained often on this program, love doesn't mean I co-sign wickedness. In fact, it's the opposite. Love rejoices in the truth. But the motivation for contending for the truth is that not that I win a debate, but that I win a brother or sister. That is the encouragement from the scriptures and the pinnacle apologetic scripture, 1 Peter 3. Is that we engage and we always have a reason to articulate why we believe what we believe, why we believe it. But the goal is to have an additional fellow citizen of the eternal kingdom of God. So I'm not just to try to make this plain. I don't want to merely debate fiscal policy just so I can. Never got him, Reed. Look at that. Look at him. He can't even handle the candidate arguments. My prayer, my hope ultimately, is that truth with a capital T is what is kept. And this is just a reminder, man. And I know I'm a human being like everybody else. I've been in circumstances to where you're watching this tremendous wickedness, and it is appalling. But we have to remember, and this is why I want to encourage our audience here to refuse to allow callousness to set in. You know, we cannot be salt and light if we despise the people that the scripture says that the eyes, that their eyes are beholden, that they've been taken captive. Now, we don't engage in social emotional learning with the way the world does. You know, just come and sit where I sit. No, biblical compassion. Jesus said, and the Gospel of Mark records it, he had compassion on them, so he taught them many things. Biblical compassion ultimately is corrective. Not just feel what I feel. Okay, I see how you, I see what you're feeling. I see where you are. How can we get out of this mess? That's what biblical compassion does. I was encouraged by the testimony of a Coast Guard rescue swimmer and petty officer Scott Ruskin, who was one of the many first responders, over 400 first responders who came out. And he, according to reports, personally and directly rescued 165 people as a rescue swimmer. And this was his first rescue mission of his career. And got in those waters and, you know, used his abilities to rescue people. That's a true American hero, man. And it is that there are people that still, people like that are still in our country. You know, the regressive American Pravda would have you think that everybody in America hates each other. That's why, man, get out and touch grass. It's not like that in the real world. Not everybody lives in New York. That's why I often get a chuckle out of the people who would talk about overpopulation. Like, you have never left the major metropolitan areas, have you? And I understand that, you know, living in urban areas very often, you can have a perception. But that perception doesn't mean that it's true. America's a beautiful country with all kinds of stories, with loving people. And by God's grace, he is still in the business of saving souls. Well, we got to get off these devices and letting bobblehead talking heads tell us everything. The world, everybody hates each other. And we allow the media to dictate our perceptions. And we don't even say hello to our neighbors. That's why I encourage living locally. Don't allow the stuff that's swirling around in national media dictate how you engage with your neighbor. Let's break bread together, man. Have somebody over for dinner. Do you even know whether or not your late neighbors are believers? If they are, man, let's get together. And let's get together, even if it's just one other family. Let's pray for our neighborhood. Let's see if the Lord will use us to proclaim the gospel that maybe our whole block, we may be able to evangelize our whole block. The next thing you know, our whole cul-de-sac is getting together to pray for our community. And from our cul-de-sac, man, we go to our school board meetings and we begin our communication with them by saying we just want to pray for our district. Who knows from there? Somebody from your own community prayer meeting may run for your local school board. We got to live locally, man. There's so many, it's too many to highlight. Selfless acts. People risking their very own lives to save others. I'm serious, man. Don't allow the national zeitgeist conversations dictate to you how you respond. Do you know your neighbor? I know a lot of you in this audience do. I know a lot of you are already doing what I'm saying. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm like, trying to be condemnatory. Not at all. But if you're listening to me, you're saying, yeah, man, you know, Abe, I've never really had a conversation, a real conversation with my neighbor. Why don't we consider reversing that, man? Let's have some tea. Let's get together, have coffee. Maybe God is at work right there. You might have your own version of when Philip found the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, the Lord had Philip head south on the road toward Gaza. And you want to talk about a layup. I mean, this is an alley-oop that Chris Paul threw. You know, you're talking about the Lob City days, DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. He walks up. This man is reading the scroll of Isaiah. And then he begins with a question. Now, when the suffering servant is mentioned here, is the writer talking about himself or somebody else? I mean, you want to talk about a lob. to introduce Messiah into the conversation. And as the scripture records it, starting right there, Philip begins introducing him to Messiah through the scroll of Isaiah, starting with that verse. It's amazing. Man, you might find out, you go knock on your neighbor's door. Man, you know, I just sent something that made me realize I need to probably like try to turn to God. That might be what you find. Try to turn to God. And I was, you know, Lord, I didn't know even where to start. And then you knock on my door. You must talk about a layup. Guys, that's happening. There's a brother in our local church. They go to the local mall. They go and pray with people all the time. And the most recent testimony, testimonies all the time, most recent testimony, he met a young lady, you know, I don't have this in mind, Gen Z, millennial, whatever. It's a younger lady. And he thought she might not want to hear from him. And the young lady told him, man, you know, just this morning, I prayed for the first time in 10 years. And I asked God to send somebody that can help me get to know him. That's the first thing she said to my brother Ricky. He said, look at God. Guys, that's happening today. This is not last week. This is happening today. If you're breathing, man, God has purpose for you. And that will be a contrast to this pediatrician who used to work for, what's her Bluefish Pediatrics in Houston, Texas. They're not employees of the Memorial Hermann Hospital System, but Bluefish Pediatrics works in conjunction with the Memorial Hermann Hospital System. This is wild. This pediatrician's name is Dr. Christina Probst, P-R-O-P-S-T. As news was breaking concerning, what'd you say?
German Shear.
Oh, yeah. As news was breaking concerning these horrific floods in Texas. Jeff, would you put the photo up? Here's a screenshot of our Facebook post. Christina Probst. I'm going to wait till the screenshot is on the screen. So on her Facebook page, which she has now changed her screen name and took stuff down, all this kind of stuff, but the internet is forever. She posted under the name Chris space Tina, which is basically breaking up her first name, Christina. And she posted this, quote, may all visitors, children, non-MAGA voters, and pets be safe and dry. Prayer hands emoji. Kerr County MAGA voted to gut FEMA. They deny climate change. May they get what they voted for. Bless their hearts, end quote. I have for those of you who are watching the show, you can see the screenshot of her post on the monitor on the screen right now. Once the post was up, it went viral. And I'm going to tell you, it went viral for two reasons. There were others sharing it in agreement. Then there were others who are condemning this sentiment. She's now been terminated from her job at Bluefish Pediatrics, which I never celebrate over people losing their jobs. But I do immediately have a question. How could this be your sentiment when we're learning that children have died from these floods? Others have died from these floods. And you're saying, may they get what they voted for? May they get what they voted for? Guys, that's the kind of callousness and indifference that Matthew 24:12 points out. As lawlessness ascends, the love of many will wax cold. You're talking about cold. How could you be so cold? Guys, that coldness is not a natural, not a normal coldness. Guys, that is evil. And I presented the rhetorical question earlier. This is a pediatrician. I know. I used to live in Houston, Texas. I know Houston, Texas is full of people that probably voted just like the people in Kerr County. And they probably have people in Houston that voted for Shields should never be president. The remix. But if I brought my child to Dr. Christina and she happened to find out who I am, how would she treat my child? What would she do with my child? This, guys, this, remember what the scripture says, and I know people make mistakes, I get that. I know people have bad moments, I get that. And I never would want to sentence anyone to their worst moment. But I do want to freeze frame this moment. Because the sad reality is that her post, I saw scores of videos of people saying the exact same thing in different words. Guys, that's evil. Full stop. That is evil. How could a pediatrician be so callous? How could someone who takes an oath to do no harm be so callous? And this is why I'm saying, guys, this is what idolatry looks like. This is how idolatry works. That you are so beholden to your political perspective that your humanity is encroached upon. To where you, if not wishing death on your political opponents, have a collective shrug. Kerr County voted MAGA. They denied climate change. They voted to gut FEMA. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? FEMA is an emergency management agency that responds post-disaster. Guys, this is evidence of evil. I'm not saying that everybody who shares her political sentiment has that perspective. But how widely disseminated is that perspective? On the other side, on those who, you know, are red political gangbangers, are you so beholden to your political positions that you wish death upon your political opposition? Or at a minimum, have a collective shrug? Some of the people that suffer and whose lives are imperiled? Guys, that's evil. That's evil. And there's only one answer to that kind of evil: repentance. Thank God that he's gracious, that if you confess that sin and repent, he will forgive you. But make no mistake about it, that is sin that requires repentance.
Can you think of a time when you're not preparing for something, to go to work, to take a test, to get together with friends, but how prepared are you for the return of Christ? That's definitely an event you need to be ready for. John MacArthur helps you see that in his compelling study from Revelation chapter 6. Be here today for Grace to You.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Independence Day. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. A nation and world-altering event took place on July 4, 1776 in Philadelphia when 56 representatives of 13 British colonies signed the Declaration of Independence from Great Britain. The Declaration is America's original founding document and is, quote, the most consequential enumeration of the fundamental and unalienable rights of mankind as irrevocably endowed by our Creator, unquote. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." While this specifically refers to Israel, there is general blessing for any nation that reveres and honors God. This begins with each one of us. Hear our most recent program at thechristianworldview.org and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and 1 minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. You had this little bit of information that trickled on through that when I saw it, I said, And many of you probably saw this, but in case you haven't seen it, President Trump's Department of Justice and the FBI have released a memo concluding that they have no evidence that convicted sex offender and disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein blackmailed powerful figures or kept a quote-unquote client list or was murdered, according to the DOJ memo. Now, FBI Director Cash Patel, FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino, before becoming FBI Director and then Deputy Director respectively, both indicated their suspicions that Epstein didn't kill himself. But they both now come out publicly and stated that Epstein did kill himself. Now, this has caused quite a bit of consternation for a lot of people, including myself, because I had two immediate thoughts when I saw this memo begin to be circulated. The first thought that I had was, now, I could be wrong, but isn't Ghislaine Maxwell serving 20 years in federal prison right now for sex trafficking minors and other crimes? Am I right about that, Bobby? Now, again, I could be wrong, but I did prosecute for almost a decade. I remember when I was a early on baby DA, baby prosecutor, that we had sexually oriented businesses that were prosecuted, and you had prostitution that was prosecuted, right? How can, is it Ghislaine or Ghislaine? I don't know. Ghislaine, there it is. Ghislaine Maxwell, how could she be convicted for sex trafficking minors if she ain't trafficking them to nobody?
Did she
get all the names up here? Maybe she had a mental Rolodex, Bobby. That's what she had. That's what she had over boy. She had a mental Rolodex. It was in her mind. How is she serving 20 years in prison for sex trafficking minors if they weren't being trafficked to anybody? Was she not the right-hand woman of Jeffrey Epstein? Next question I had in my mind. You know, and y'all just, I'm sorry, I'm just having a thought exercise out loud. Didn't Pam Bondi announce, and I remember she did it because I covered it on this show. I shared the audio and the video on this show when Pam Bondi said that she had the Epstein client list on her desk. Remember that? Did I make that up? Did that actually happen? I thought I remembered Pam Bondi, the attorney general, soon after being confirmed, right? She said, I have the Epstein client list on my desk. In fact, I remember her saying some of these same words on the Fox News channel. Remember that? But then They even called a press conference. Remember that? They had a bunch of podcasters and conservative influencers that were in Washington, D.C. to go to a press conference. And then they found out the binders, they even disseminated binders that didn't even have the have any pertinent information in it. I just want to know what happened. I just want to know what happened. And the prevailing thought process, and I don't want to speculate too broadly, but the prevailing thought process was that the reason why Epstein covered up, and in fact, maybe I need to check on, wasn't Epstein arrested facing the same charges and similar charges that Ghislaine Maxwell was facing? So he was arrested upon suspicion of sex trafficking and things of that nature with minors, but I am just very uncomfortable with this. I've said it before. I endeavor to be an equal opportunity truth teller. I don't understand how the Trump administration can come into power, the Attorney General Pam Bondi, the FBI Director Cash Patel, the FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino, all previously said, nah, I don't know about this Epstein thing. Then while in office, Pam Bondi says, oh, I have the Epstein client list on my desk. And now the FBI and the FBI is a part of the Department of Justice, but the Department of Justice and the FBI has come out now with this memo saying that, there's no client list. There's no client list. That is very interesting to me. That is very interesting. I don't believe this is going to tamp down the speculation and the concern that Epstein's clientele included some of the most powerful people in the world. It is not going to tamp down speculation that Epstein's death, more than likely, covers up the disclosure of what was going to happen. I'm sorry, but this is bad. And so here's what I would simply say. I think the Attorney General has some explaining to do. How can you at one point come out saying I have the Epstein client list on my desk and now your department says there is no client list? How you square that circle? For credibility, I mean, and Cash Patel is trying to restore credibility to the FBI. Pam Bondi is trying to restore credibility to the Attorney General's office following a term of politicized prosecutions. And it just makes me, and look, I know some people may get mad at me, oh, Abe, don't worry about that, blah, blah, blah. Nah, I'm worried about it. Not worried is not the word. I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned about it because either Pam Bondi was lying when she said she had Epstein's client list on her desk, or she's lying now, because that's a very bold and direct statement, right? That's a very bold and direct statement. Unless I'm wrong, unless I'm not remembering that correctly, and I'm open to be corrected. If I'm stating what she said too broadly, and she didn't say I have the client list, I do remember she said that there's some interesting things that are going to be revealed. And look, we got the tapes. Y'all know I'm good for pulling a video or two. I think Pam Bondi needs to explain how she goes from I have the client list on my desk to there is no client list. And the reason why I'm concerned about this is there's lots of perception. I've talked in this program about, you know, the two-tiered justice system, you know, the Sheila shall never be president, the original. You have James Comey the Clown lay out the entire case as to why, how, and when she should be prosecuted, who then says, but because of the political implications of this, when you have her literally having her staff take hammers to iPads and using bleach bit to delete and to permanently make inaccessible files that she's using a private email communication server for, and then to have the FBI director to say, yeah, nobody would prosecute her. Then you literally have the entire force of the federal government turned against, you know, parents who dare show up at school board meetings. Literally. You have domestic terrorists who try to attack pregnancy resource centers because they want to protect their twisted view of a so-called right to kill children for money in the womb. You know, this is wild, man. In the American people, we the people, in order for us to function according to our constitutional parameters, we have to be able to hold our elected officials and their appointees accountable. If I wouldn't have just collectively shrugged my shoulders if Merrick Garland came out and said, yeah, I have the Epstein client list, and then he come out saying there is no client list, I'm not going to shrug my shoulders if Pam Bondi comes out and says, I have the Epstein client list, and then turns around and says, no, there is no client list. So the issue is concerning in and of itself, but the implication of the issue beyond that. Do we have people that are puppet masters behind the scenes? People like Epstein has dirt on them. And he will even die to make sure they're sins are not exposed. This is what this whole scenario, this is what's at stake with this whole scenario. So then you have, you know, the political games people play, you know, I was a Trump appointee. I've served my time. I've been in office 2 years. I'm going to go resign. Is Pam Bondi going to just all of a sudden now resign? Not like tomorrow, not like tomorrow. There'll be some very important cases that they're working on. And as soon as you get close to about, you know, the midterms. I truly hope this is not what happens. But I've seen movies like this before. I don't mean literal movies, y'all. Y'all know I don't mean literal movies. It's just concerning. And I feel like it's important to call it out. The same way I would if Merrick Garland was the one who had done stuff like that. The same way I would if Comey the Clown was the one doing stuff like that. One other thing I want to mention, because I don't think a lot of people connected these dots. In many ways, President Trump's current term in office, it just has been remarkable in many ways. I think this whole Epstein thing is a blight, frankly, on the current Trump administration. I think it's something that's going to be a question. If it persists unanswered, I think it's going to be a question that lingers around his presidency. I think so. On the other hand, however, I think that President Trump was a part of the announcement of a peace deal that I think may be one of the most important of his term. Some of you may recall when I reported the story of the 70 people who had been beheaded, who were Christians, who were intentionally sought out in the Democratic Republic of Congo. They were beheaded. They were corralled into a local Protestant church and beheaded, and their bodies left in the local Protestant church. What a lot of people may not recognize is that was an instance within about 30 years worth of violence and terror between the Congo and Rwanda. So when President Trump announced the recent peace agreement between Rwanda and Congo, what may not be obvious, and it's not a story that's being reported very broadly, but you largely have Islamists raping, plundering, and pillaging in Congo, which is a largely Christian nation. And people want to talk about it as a war, but they don't want to describe it as another outfit of jihad, which is what it is. Which is what it is. You have jihadis raping, beheading, using machetes, and torturing, gang raping little girls. Gang raping so prevalent, little girls becoming pregnant, and they don't even know which of the rapists is the father. And behind the scenes, President Trump has been working to try to stop this insanity from happening. I believe if the media covered the actual carnage that is happening there and had been happening there more so, the gravity and the weight of this, the potential for peace being broken in this region would be more pronounced. Now, I understand there are lots of things that have happened. The Iran-Israel war, big issue. Very important. The big, beautiful bill. I didn't even talk about that. I meant to talk about that today. That passed. That's now law. That makes permanent President Trump's 2017 tax cuts. I'm grateful for Planned Parenthood being defunded to the degree that it was, but with compromises with the legislation, they were only now defunded for a year. Politics, man. But this peace deal, I believe, once the dust settles and light illuminates what was happening there before the announcement of the peace deal and what happens thereafter, I think this could be one of the biggest announcements of President Trump's term. But the sad reality is that the absolute carnage that has been happening in that region is not largely being covered. And I pray this changes, and I'm going to do my part to try to help to shed light on this important matter.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.